Hi, this is Laura, and welcome to Overtures. This was my first episode ever of the show, recorded in November 2021, with just my laptop, no mic, originally streaming to Twitch. And while I stream to YouTube now, everything I say about community building and interacting live still goes. With that, I'll let previous me introduce this show, and all links are in the show notes. Take your seats, we'll be starting shortly. Hello, hello, hello. If you're not watching now currently, you're probably watching the VOD that's either going to be living on Twitch or YouTube. We're going to play around with that and I'll take a look and see what I can do. But yes, hello, welcome. I'm going to be calling this episode zero of Overtures because it's not really a full episode. It's going to be more of me trying out technical difficulties and seeing how they go, but also saying hello and introducing myself to what I'm creating. So we're starting with the absolute basics today. This is my first time streaming live. So we are working with the bare bones here. We got my laptop. There is no external mic or camera. So bear with me in terms of quality. We'll get better as we go. And before we get into things, this show is normally going to be a conversation with a guest. However, I didn't want to be necessarily talking to the camera the whole time telling you my whole life story. So I brought a friend. This is Harry. This is my partner, but also a fellow theater artist. Feel free to say hello.
Hello.
So yeah, and with that, we'll go ahead and get started and just sort of introduce me so we know who I am when I start interviewing guests and have a little bit of a know-how as to who I am and what this show is. So if you'd like to get started, ask me questions.
I have the wonderful duty of asking the questions today,
Yes.
But these are the same questions I'm assuming that you'll be asking others later.
Yeah.
So the first one is the most existential of them all.
Oh, God.
Who are you?
Who am I? That's truly the real question here. To be or not to be, right? I promise I won't pull too many theatrical puns, but I just couldn't help it in the moment. I'm a actor, singer, dancer, sometimes a director when I'm lucky, and I'm based here in New York City. I grew up in a small little tiny town in Indiana, and I got my bachelor's degree at Wagner College in Staten Island, good old Staten Island. Good luck, Kim K and Pete Davidson. We'll see how that goes. And then I just got my master's at Villanova University, where I met this one. So yeah, that's who I am. Do you want to introduce yourself a little bit too?
I mean, I can, yeah. So my name is Harry. I'm Laura's partner. We did meet at Villanova, where I also got my master's. For my undergraduate, I went to Albright College in Reading, Pennsylvania. And I grew up in Pennsylvania for my whole life.
Good old Bucks County.
Until moving here, 4 months ago, five now, and, it's four, and, almost five.
Five.
Almost five.
Almost five.
And, yeah, so I'm here now and doing what I can. I'm a playwright, an actor when I can, a director if I'm lucky.
One of his plays is premiering tonight at a high school in Indiana. So
here we are.
Keep your eye out for Broadway, folks.
Oh,
keep
yeah,
your eye out for
it's
Broadway.
It's literally one step away. I can
one
throw
step,
a, I
yeah.
can throw a
You're
stone
so close.
And I'm going to hit Broadway.
Hit it.
From
yeah.
From Indiana.
Exactly.
It's
going to
be great.
It's going to be fantastic. But yeah, Harry's not necessarily going to be here for every show, but I figure who's better to interview me than someone who lives here inside my house. Apartment, you know, whatever we're going to call it. Home. Next question.
Yeah, so next, this is the one you won't be asking other people. What is this show?
What is Overtures? What is this thing that I'm doing? So it all stems back to this question that my directing professor, Mickey Tenenbaum, would ask at the beginning of every semester when we were doing directing class. And that question was, what was the moment that you realized this is what you wanted to do with your career or your life? Specifically in terms of theater. And people would answer that question from lots of different backgrounds as an actor, as a director, et cetera, et cetera. And I've always been so fascinated with that question because just simply everyone's background and everyone's path are completely different. And I like to think of that question as sort of an overture as to like where we are now. So like, what was the overture that got me into what I'm doing today, you know? And so that's a big one. And I created this show as a way to connect with others. And sorry, I keep looking like at the screen, even though you're the one asking me the question. I got nervous about this question and I wanted to make sure I covered everything. So I wrote it down on a Google Doc on the side. I promise later on, there are some questions that I did not pre-write the answers to. Bear with me. So I created this show as sort of a way for me to be able to keep this dialogue going, because I've always loved the question and I wanted to be able to keep asking people it and getting to know them, whether they're in the industry or they've left the industry. Because I think even if you did theater growing up, but then maybe left, it's still really fascinating to see how being involved in theater impacted where you are now. The overture might have been somewhere completely different to where you are now, but it's still an overture, you know? And it's also a goal of mine to use this as a show to connect with others and develop a community. I think it's so important, especially as a big bad adult in the real world, to be lifting each other's voices up and mentioning other people's names in the room and so on and so forth. And I think the best way for me to do that and try and help others as best I can is to use a platform like this that's free and open for everyone to be able to share people's talents and their thoughts and just get to know them as people. The most important thing in the room, at least for actors, is getting to know them as human beings. Like, talent is great, but can you travel with them on a national tour because they're good humans? You're not sure all the time. So I always want to make sure we can highlight guests' voices, talents, projects, and all that kind of good stuff. As I was saying before, the setting and production of this is going to be very casual. It is my apartment. I don't plan on this being any huge production, but just a cozy place to sit down and share conversation. Keep it homey. And same thing in the chat. I don't know that anyone's live watching right now. However, in the future, trying to keep it just as open and homey in the chat, type away throughout. I joke about this being a show and the pre-show of this being like, take your seats, the show's about to start. But like, I want this to be as open of a conversation as possible. So like, type away in the chat. I will promise to keep looking when it comes up and respond when I can. The goal for now will be to be streaming once a week. Next week, I have two because I didn't want one person to bear the sole load of being the first guest. So I have two people next week, but the goal is to be once a week because work schedules are crazy and we're going to try and see how we can do. Simply because like work schedules and scheduling other people can be difficult. I'm not going to necessarily have a consistent schedule for these streams. It's mostly going to be a week by week basis, see what happens. So I will be posting on the Instagram page that I have for this at Overtures Show on Instagram. I'm going to be posting on there when I'm streaming next. But the VODs will be available here on this channel, on Twitch, or I'll be posting them on YouTube later on if I can figure that out. But yeah, catch it live if you can. And now that I've gone through all those measly business questions, here's the real part of it where you get to ask me questions.
You get to ask some real questions.
I don't know the answers to them. I should, but I don't. So yeah, go ahead. Go for it.
Okay. So what was your overture into this career path?
Well, I started theater as a wee tot, I blame my dad for it, specifically because he was the theater professor at the local college when I was growing up. I was born in Wisconsin, so lived there. You already know that about me, but that's okay, giving context for the viewers. But being that that was his work, I was constantly involved in being brought to warm up. Like, he would always bring me to the beginning of rehearsal and I'd play like Bippity Bippity Bop and things like that. And I'd be stretching with all the theater collegiate students. It was really fun though, because I was really good at Bippity Bippity Bop, even though I was like 5 or 6.
Yeah.
And I would get all of them out. Oh, and they were like, oh, what a sweet kid. And then like I would just roast them in Bippity Bippity Bop. And they were like, oh my God, like what the heck? But it was funny because as soon as rehearsal started, mom was like, okay, time to go home and get some dinner. And I was like, okay, bye. It never really occurred to me like what they could possibly be doing other than just playing games the whole time, you know? Mm-hmm. But eventually my dad started needing me in theater productions because sometimes shows require small children. And so the first one that he pulled me into was a production of The Christmas Carol. And that was really fun because I don't know if this is even working. I was playing some audio lo-fi in the background, but I'm realizing there's an ad coming up on it. It's very possible that it did not show up at all in the stream, but I'm just going to close that window out. Just so you're not hearing ads if the audio did go through. But yeah, so I was doing a production of The Christmas Carol because he needed another Cratchit child.
Yep.
But it was really cool in that the concept of it was completely different than like your typical age-old Christmas Carol. It was set in an unhoused community, so a group of homeless people. And so the Cratchits were, in fact, homeless and living on the streets. And, like, the Ghost of Christmas Past the big scary one, was made out of scaffolding and trash bags and things like that. And, like, at the very end, during curtain call, we sang Hole in the World from the Eagles. But it was really interesting because it was a perspective that, like, modernized it, and being involved in a production that young was so interesting to me, and to get to have that so young. So like that's kind of how I got started in the very beginning. But in terms of my overture of like, oh, this is what I want to do with my life, was actually through a movie. There was this movie called Super 8 that came out like years ago. I think it was my freshman year of high school. And it occurred to me that all of the main actors in it, like including like Elle Fanning and Joel Courtney, were all like my age, and all the supporting, like all the adults in it were supporting actors or less, to be frank. And I was like, oh, I could be doing this now. And you can do like, it never occurred to me like, oh yes, a child can like tell a story, or like someone my age could do that. And I was like, oh, that's something that like these kids are doing and can do. And it never quite hit me. And that was like one of the first movies and only movies that I've ever seen twice in a movie theater, because I was like, no, I'm seeing it again. Mom and Dad, you need to come see this with me. I need you to see it. And so like that compounded with doing my first high school musical, which was Carousel, which is quite a choice for a high school, but we're not going to get into that right now. That being a fairly bare bones production. But it was the first time that I, as a student actor and like the cast as a whole, were treated like adults, and that like this is an adult story and we're going to do this. It felt collaborative as opposed to like your middle school productions, which are maybe like stand here, make sure you hit the right notes, which like at that age, fair enough, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But like those two experiences compounded together made me go, oh, I like that thing that I always did with Dad growing up. I can just do that forever. That sounds great. Sign me up, you know? So yeah, that was kind of my overture into being a theater person. So yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so what interests do you have within your career path?
What interest do I have?
Yeah.
I love musicals, if it wasn't obvious already. I love musicals. I think there's something to be said for the fact that in musicals, especially the famous line where it's like, when you don't have enough words to express what you're meaning, you sing. And when you don't have the music to express it, you dance. Mm-hmm. And I think there's something so special and raw in that that really draws me into musicals. So I adore musicals, but I'm also very intrigued by the works of like Sarah Ruhle, Annie Baker, Brandon Jacobs Jenkins, just for their otherworldly environments, locations, impossible stage directions, Yay, thanks, Dr. Bess Rowan at Villanova. Check her out. She has a book that just came out on Stage Directions. Check those out. But the theatricality of them, I think, is really cool because they're also able to pull it in such a way that they use it to their advantage, like Eurydice by Sarah Rule. It's so theatrical in terms of the stage directions. And you're like, how the hell am I supposed to pull this off? But if you're looking at just the dialogue alone, it's so simple. Mm-hmm. And you're like, how can I convey this story with that little, but also so much? Mm-hmm. And I think those really fascinate me. And I know you also have a likening to like Annie Baker and Brandon Jacobs Jenkins. Do you have like a different reason for being drawn to them by any chance?
I mean, it's their magical realism of it.
Yeah.
Like, because that's what I write in.
Yeah, right.
So I see like lines and I gravitate toward them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I guess that's where it would be for me. I mean, the impossible stage directions help.
Yeah.
As well.
And I think those are really cool just because like you don't see them unless you're reading it.
Yeah.
Which is also fascinating too, because it's like, ah, I want to share these with everyone.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah. So yeah.
That's when you just make every audience member buy a copy of the play on their way out.
And you're like, hey, you missed half the play. You want to know how?
Yeah.
Read it.
Instead of a playbill, you give them a copy of the play.
Yeah, exactly. Definitely drawn to like musicals, but also that magical realism stuff. Fun,
yeah.
Fun stuff.
Whatever
fun stuff.
Is.
Yeah.
What are you working on right now?
I'm working on this.
I was going to say, don't say this. It's cheating.
I know. I know it's cheating, it but is. I've also been working on very hard on this. This is something that I've been playing around with since I think maybe July. When I first started thinking about it, it was like I listened to a podcast for
it
the
was first,
really first
book.
Yeah, it was like I listened to a podcast for the first time and I was like, oh, I could do that. Yeah. But then it evolved and I was like, no, because then that means other people have to help me engineer it and schedules are hard. So I was like, how can I produce something to this effect that I know how to do with my own skill level, because I don't claim to be anyone of high technology marksmanship per se. I know that's not the right word to be using for that, but yeah. So I was like, how can I create something to this effect without the technical abilities that I just don't have?
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm working on this, sending in lots of self tapes because that's all you really can do at the moment. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm working a retail job and I'm also working a stage door at an off-Broadway theater. So that's always fun, getting to see the people coming in and out, getting to know the actors or getting to know the producers really well. Like usually there's like one lead producer on a show. And
right,
so
yeah.
Anytime there's any trouble, the ATD and I are like, I love that. I was like, what is happening? He just read a text on his phone.
Don't worry about it.
As opposed to just you looking in your lap going, huh?
When did that get there?
So yeah, so it's been fun getting realizing that like, oh, I'm actually getting to know more of the technical side of people better at the stage door than per se anyone else. But
yeah.
It's always fun to see which actors have the biggest personalities coming in and out of the stage door. Like, oh, hello, darling. How are you today? As they sign in and out. So always fun on that kind of thing. But that's what I'm working on at the moment. It may not be a long resume or list of things that I'm working on, but, you know, we're trying, you know, this is a great start and outlet. So I'm really excited. And I hope you all can join for further adventure on this ride. So. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have any upcoming projects?
Nope. Nope. Not at all.
Well.
Not a one.
You have your play like done.
Yeah. I mean, that's happening tomorrow, tonight.
Tonight and tomorrow, tonight I think. Tomorrow. So tonight, Friday, November 5th and November 6th. If you're out in good old West Lafayette, Indiana, go
catch
it. I could
have sworn there's something about the 7th, but maybe I'm just conflating.
Maybe.
It's 7 o'clock.
It's probably yeah. 7 o'clock show, 7. Mm. You know.
Close enough, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's but fine.
How does it feel to like have a play get done?
I mean,
because it's also like so hard because I'm sure it feels so far removed because it's not.
Yeah, it's halfway
here.
Across the country and it's happening, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's strange.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's also fun though, because this production was a high school production, so getting the chance to talk to the students briefly over a Zoom call, I'm sure it was really interesting and enlightening as a playwright, I'm sure, because like you're like, I don't know how they're going
to
receive this.
They had a lot of things to say and a lot of questions to ask, and some of them I expected, and then when they asked them, I was like, oh yeah, that's I knew this was coming, and then
other ones like
others were, you know.
If each this, character is a color.
Yeah, what color would they be? Or like this speech happens and what is it about? It's like, I didn't expect that kind of a question about that speech in particular. But
Was it like a more mature thought than you expected from them per se? Or like,
I don't know if it was necessarily more mature. I think it was more like, I don't know. I didn't expect them to be as thoughtful about it as they were.
Yeah.
Like they thought very much into it, and it was like, oh.
You're like as the playwright, maybe it's like should I have looked this far into it? But also, it's
I mean, I kind of just wrote the monologue, and then it turned into what it was, and it felt good, and it felt right. And then they asked, so why was it there? And it was.
You're like, because that's what came out of me when I put my fingers in the keys. Like,
without saying that, that's what I said.
You're like, I don't know what to tell you, but.
I absolutely mentioned, like, I don't know. It was just, it's what they had to say and what they experienced at the time.
Yeah. And I think that's really cool that to get that response of, like, oh, this thing that I wrote that, like, I felt good about, but I just wasn't necessarily looking too hard into, like, impacted these kids of this age.
Oh, yeah. I mean, apparently it's impacting the parents as well.
We had a raving review from a parent. Thanks. My mom passed this comment along, but I'm really excited for him, and so I'm kind of throwing him under the bus here, being like, hi, we're gonna talk about this live, but no, I was just curious.
I'll be back on for a later episode.
I'll hook him in here, so get your questions ready, folks.
Three of them.
But do you have any other questions for me on the Google Doc that I laid out? I did write the questions.
I mean, you already said what you have coming up, which is this show.
It's true.
Who's the next guest on this show?
Ooh, the next guest. Mm. The next guest is a lovely friend of mine in college. I was about to say comrade. I don't know why I was about to say that. College classmate, Elena Rose Broyer. She's fabulous. She studied theater performance at Wagner, and now she's often studying theater education. And honestly, what a perfect person to be studying theater education, inspiring the youths, but also making sure they're taking care of themselves in this career, because sometimes
it's important.
Yeah. Well, also sometimes
It's important. It's important.
Yes.
Sometimes.
Yes. Sorry. Caveat. I think sometimes theater education isn't always built the healthiest, and we're breaking that down as an industry a little bit, or at least we're trying to. So she's definitely one who's going to be an amazing leader of that. And I'm excited to talk to her. A fun fact about myself.
I was going to ask about a fun fact.
Yes. A fun fact.
Jumped the gun.
I'm so sorry.
Do you have any fun facts about yourself?
Yes.
Do tell.
So rude. I've been in the play A Midsummer Night's Dream a total of 4 times. That's a big one. I should have also mentioned that I'm really big into Shakespeare as well. I lean more towards the comedies than the tragedies, although in tragedies I really like the Fool characters, so we can talk about that a little bit.
Finding the comedies in the tragedies.
Oh, absolutely. I love me some Fool in King Lear. Oof, I was having a full conversation about it with my dad, the pairing of Cordelia and the Fool being the same actor. Anyway, but yes, I've been in A Midsummer Night's Dream 4 times in my life. When I was a kid, my dad pulled me into a production and I played one of the fairies, Cobweb. It was great. I had these fantastic wings. They even like gave me the prosthetic ear. We glued that on every night, and they had to be like, don't take it off yourself. And I was like, okay. I was terrified.
Rip your whole ear off.
Honestly, it could like rip. It was like spirit glue or something like that.
That's what would happen.
Terrified of that. So I did Midsummer. So that was like 8 years old, probably. Then fast forward to senior year of high school. We did a production of it that was like set in the 60s. And I played Helena. It was a blast. It was one of my favorites. I had big Tracy Turnblad hair. It was real. Shout out to my friend Parker's mom for doing it every night. She teased the shit out of it every single night. It was glorious. It was set in the six. I said set in the 60s, but like the Athenians were Maud. The mechanicals were blue collar workers, and then the fairies were all hippies because. Mm. Of course,
as you do,
like you can't not. Then in college, I did a production, a sort of devised production of it, if you can call it devised because there's a script. But we did a production of it, and it was a student run production, and I played Bottom, which was a blast. I loved that. Getting to play such a braggadocious character was so fun. I was leaping and bounding everywhere. It was a glorious time. And then in grad school, I did it one more time and I played several characters. I was the dance captain of sorts. I was
of sorts.
I was an Athenian courtier at the beginning that didn't have any lines in the opening scene with the king. Yes, it was. Just in a big old suit. It was great.
Far too large.
It was far too large, but you know, that was the effect.
That was the
shout out to deal. Asaki.
Yeah.
Then I played Flute/Thisbe, which was my favorite part of the show. He was so fun to play. He was so in love with Bottom. It was great. And then I also played one of the fairies as well. I think I had mustard seeds lines.
You had mustard seeds.
I truly can't remember.
You didn't have cobweb. I know that much.
Yeah, no, I knew that.
Because you would have gone, cobweb, yeah. Welcome back.
So I've been in Midsummer 4 times, and I have not played the same role twice.
Which is, you know, not
scary.
Exactly, you know. Easy to do.
No, it's not. It's actually
hard to do either.
Like, I feel like that's a straight, like, if nothing else says that type doesn't exist to a point, like, I feel
at least
like
not in Midsummer.
Yeah, at least not in Midsummer. Like, I have no type in that
all
show.
You need to
I
do
guess.
Is Titania, and then so you have a bingo. At
yeah,
that point.
Yeah. Honestly, though.
Yeah.
5 in a row. I just want to be in another Shakespeare production as a whole, because that's the other thing. Not only have I been in 4 productions of Midsummer, I have never been in any other Shakespeare production. I costumed a production of Twelfth Night once in college. I love that. But yeah, crossing fingers for those Shakespeare festivals this summer. We'll see what happens. But yeah, so that's my little fun fact. So yeah, jumping, I guess, forward a little bit because we're kind of reaching the end for now, is where you can find me. You can find me at Overtures Show on Instagram. That link should be in my Twitter bio, and I'll put it in the YouTube.
Two S's. Bio.
Yeah, with Overtures. Overtures Show.
No space.
Yep. All that good stuff. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter personally at Laura_Marjoram. Look at my name here on Twitch to know how to spell that, because I know it's a little difficult. You can find me at my website, my personal website, which is simply just www.lauramarjoram.com. And then you can find me here on Twitch. Maybe, just maybe, I'll play video games really far down the line.
Once we get her set up.
Who knows? I also have a Switch Lite. That makes things difficult. If you're a streamer, you understand why that's difficult. It's fine.
It's difficult.
But yeah. It's a little difficult, but don't mind me. I'll just be playing Animal Crossing New Horizons, that update that dropped in my free time. So feel free to always ask me about that, because love me some Switch. Yeah. And I don't believe anyone is live at the moment, but for those of you who are watching the VOD of this or are watching it on YouTube, thank you so much for watching. I'm really, really excited about this project. It's been really daunting for me, and I've had a little bit of imposter syndrome as to, should I be the one to start this? Why should I start this, etc.? But I finally pulled the trigger, and I'm really excited, and I'm really happy for it. So I hope you guys can join me, and we can make it a lovely, fun time each week. I think with that, I will see you all on Tuesday, and I hope you have a great night. Do you want to say anything else to our lovely viewers before I don't have you on for
I'll be gone for a while.
But it's
so,
okay.
So remember me fondly, and give your router a rest sometimes.
Yeah.
So Sometimes even internet needs to sleep.
With wise words from Mr. H.C. Dietrich, Harry Dietrich, that's the end of our show tonight. Thanks for episode zero, and I'll catch you. One. Yeah, not zero. One. Zero.
One is on Tuesday.
Exactly.
One is on Tuesday.
Exactly. I'll see you all then. Bye. Thanks for running.